Day 438. Wednesday, June 12th. Amos 2 and 3. Amos 2, 1-16 NKJV. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom to lime. But I will send a fire upon Moab, and it shall devour the palaces of Kerioth. Moab shall die with tumult, with shouting and trumpet sound. And I will cut off the judge from its midst, and slay all its princes with him, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they have despised the law of the Lord, and have not kept his commandments. Their lies lead them astray, lies which their fathers followed. But I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they sell the righteous for silver, and the poor for a pair of sandals. They pant after the dust of the earth which is on the head of the poor, and pervert the way of the humble. A man and his father go in to the same girl, to defile my holy name. They lie down by every altar on clothes taken in pledge, and drink the wine of the condemned in the house of their God. Yet it was I who destroyed the Amorite before them, whose height was like the height of the cedars, and he was as strong as the oaks, yet I destroyed his fruit above and his roots beneath. Also it was I who brought you up from the land of Egypt and led you 40 years through the wilderness, to possess the land of the Amorite. I raised up some of your sons as prophets, and some of your young men as Nazarites. Is it not so, O you children of Israel, says the Lord? But you gave the Nazarites wine to drink, and commanded the prophets, saying, do not prophesy. Behold, I am weighed down by you, as a cart full of sheaves is weighed down. Therefore flight shall perish from the swift. Strong shall not strengthen his power, nor shall the mighty deliver himself. He shall not stand who handles the bow, the swift of foot shall not escape, nor shall he who rides a horse deliver himself. The most courageous men of might shall flee naked in that day, says the Lord. Amos 3, 1, Mimus 15, NKJV. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together, unless they are agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest, when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den, if he has caught nothing? Will a bird fall into a snare on the earth, where there is no trap for it? Will a snare spring up from the earth, if it has caught nothing at all? If a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people be afraid? If there is calamity in a city, will not the Lord have done it? Surely the Lord God does nothing, unless he reveals his secret to his servants the prophets. A lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? Proclaim in the palaces at Ashdod, and in the palaces in the land of Egypt, and say, assemble on the mountains of Samaria, see great tumults in her midst, and the oppressed within her. For they do not know to do right, says the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. Therefore thus says the Lord God, an adversary shall be all around the land, he shall sap your strength from you, and your palaces shall be plundered. Thus says the Lord, as a shepherd takes from the mouth of a lion two legs, or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out who dwell in Samaria, in the corner of a bed, and on the edge of a couch. Hear and testify against the house of Jacob, says the Lord God, the God of hosts, that in the day I punish Israel for their transgressions, I will also visit destruction on the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off, and fall to the ground. I will destroy the winter house along with the summer house. The houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, says the Lord. Daily Deep Dive. Chapter 2. The UCG Reading Plan states 6. Moab 2:1-3 lay between Ammon in the north, and Edom in the south, again in modern-day Jordan. Moab, like Ammon, was a descendant of the incestuous incident of Lot's daughters. Both Ammon and Moab would have been blessed if they had behaved toward Israel as brothers. But their refusal to grant Israel passage through their territory at the time of the Exodus caused God to reject them, Deuteronomy 23:3-4. Later the Moabites were to join forces with Ammon and Amalek against Israel for 18 years, Judges 3:13-14. One of Moab's crimes was the desecration of the remains of the king of Edom, a heinous act in ancient times, and a great dishonor to the person's memory, Nelson, note on 2:1. This probably refers to the Edomite king who was allied with Jehoram of Israel and Jehoshaphat of Judah against Mesha, king of Moab, see 2 Kings 3:4-27. The reference here in Amos is to the revenge which probably the king of Moab took on the king of Edom, when the forces of Israel and Judah had retired after their successful campaign against Moab, leaving Edom without allies. The Hebrew tradition is that Moab in revenge tore from their grave and burned the bones of the king of Edom, the ally of Jehoram and Jehoshaphat, who is already buried, JFB, note on verse 1. In any case, highly significant is the fact that Amos here pronounced the punishment of Yahweh on a social crime involving a non-Israelite. In his other oracles, the crimes were, for the most part, against the covenant people. Amos understood that an aspect of God's law transcended Israel. He affirmed a moral law that extended to non-covenant nations, a law that would surely bring punishment if violated. It is not the complex legal code of Sinai for which the Moabites were held liable, but the law of social responsibility, respect for human dignity and the rights of all people. Expositor's Bible Commentary, note on Amos 2:2-3. Certainly this was within the spirit of the laws God revealed to Israel. Indeed, such principles were revealed by God from the very beginning of mankind, and all of mankind is thus accountable. Moab was eventually conquered by Nebuchadnezzar. Yet again, the devouring fire of verse 2 seems to mainly point to a coming latter-day destruction, as described in Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Zephaniah. Judah, Amos 2:4-5, is also condemned, along with the heathen nations. People have often claimed that God had favorites, but these prophecies show that God is fair in dealing with the nations. All would suffer similar consequences if they failed to live up to what the world at large knows as plain human decency. Moral principles transmitted down from God's earliest revelations to man. God is not a respecter of persons, Acts 10:34, but the condemnation of Judah is for more than violating common human decency. The inhabitants of Judah, like those of Israel, were God's covenant people. Their special relationship with Him made them even more accountable than the Gentile nation. They were to obey God's law, but rejected it, verse 4. In fact, they even followed false gods when, more than anyone, they should have known better. The devouring fire prophesied for the Gentile nations is seen here coming against Judah too. And while Judah was overrun by Nebuchadnezzar, 2 Kings 24:25, who did burn Jerusalem, 2 Kings 20:9, this prophecy is almost certainly for the end time as well. Israel now becomes the object of Amos's correction, and it was to Israelites that he was preaching at Bethel. Concerning his oracles, the Bible Reader's Companion states, Amos begins with the most distant nation, and then, in a wide swing, moves to land circling Israel. One can almost hear the delighted, yes, yes, of his listeners as they hear the prophet denounce one enemy after another. But then, unexpectedly, the prophet pounces. The severest condemnation of all is reserved for Israel itself. How his listeners' hearts must have sunk as Amos's finger at last pointed directly at them. Amos 1:2 summary. He begins with their sins against society, Amos 2:6-8. They have become so hardened through their disobedience to God and following false religion, that God's ways of righteousness and mercy no longer influence their thinking. The righteous being sold here simply means those who are in the right, they should have justice on their side but are condemned as guilty. Bribery takes the place of true justice. The language in the Hebrew here strongly suggests that litigation is the main issue. Either a bribe as small as a pair of shoes is enough to swing the verdict, or a debt as small as that of a pair of shoes is enough to bring a man into the dock. Such is the covetousness of the community, New Bible Commentary Revised, 1970. Note on verse 6. Amos then reminds Israel of God's gracious acts towards them throughout their history. They have ignored him as a source of needed help and would suffer the consequences, Amos 2:6-16, and verses 7 and 8, regarding the man and father who go into the same girl. The JFB commentary states, from Amos 2:8, it seems likely the damsel meant, is one of the prostitutes attached to the idol Astarte's temple prostitution, being part of her filthy worship. Regarding the clothes taken in a pledge, the JFB commentary adds, the outer garment, which Exodus 22:25-27 ordered to be restored to the poor man before sunset, as being his only covering. It aggravated the crime that they lay on these clothes in an idol temple. They partook in a recumbent posture of their idolatrous feasts, the ancients being in the habit of reclining at full length and eating, the upper part of the body resting on the left elbow, not sitting as we do. Verse 12. Numbers 6:3 forbid one under the Nazarite vow from drinking wine as well as other things. Therefore these individuals gave Nazarites something they knew was breaking their vow to God. Chapter 3. The UCG commentary states, in chapter 3, Amos quotes God as saying, you only have I known, verse 2, which, in this context, means, you only have I chosen. God's relationship with Israel was not only intimate, it was exclusive. God had been faithful to Israel, yet Israel had not been faithful to God. For this reason, the nation would be judged. Nelson Study Bible, note on verse 2. God then asks the question, perhaps the most well-known quotation from the book, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Verse 3, that is, unless they continue in general agreement. Others translate the verse a little differently. Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Then the answer to either question is a resounding no. Israel and God had an agreement that they would walk together, but Israel broke the covenant, and the law of cause and effect comes into play. That's the point of verses 3 to 6. Each effect must have a cause. It follows that disaster is an effect of some action, in this case, action by the Lord. It should have been clear to Israel that their sufferings were God's messengers, warning them against their sins. We are not to take every personal disaster as a warning of judgment or judgment itself, but we are to examine ourselves to discover if anything in our lives might have moved God to act. Bible Reader's Companion, note on verses 3-6. Verse 7 is one of the most important statements about prophecy in the Bible. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants the prophets. God is not cruel and uncaring. If he is going to punish a nation, he will let them know in advance to give them an opportunity to repent. Ezekiel 3:17, Ezekiel 33, Jeremiah 18:7-8. And if a true servant of God understands a revelation or warning from God, he cannot keep it to himself. Both his fear of God and his concern for people compel him to preach and pass along God's message. Amos 3:8, Amos 7:14-15, Corinthians 9:16, Matthew 10:27. In verse 9 of Amos 3, God calls the Egyptians and Philistines to witness his judgment on Israel, implying that Israel is even worse than they were. While they had attacked other nations, Israel's oppression was against its own people. Moreover, they had not received God's revelation at Sinai, yet Israel, having received it, had violated it grossly and repeatedly. Nelson, note on Amos 3:9-10. Indeed, the Israelites' morality was so warped that they no longer knew to do right, verse 10. As the chapter ends, Amos's prophecy deals specifically with two major problem areas in Israel, false religion, verse 14, and the importance attached to wealth and power, verse 15, and verse 12. Regarding this verse, the John Gill commentary states, or what the lion has left, to show to his master that it had been seized and torn by a beast of prey. For otherwise it is a most daring thing, and not usual, for a shepherd to take anything out of a lion's mouth, though David did. And here it is said to be not a whole sheep or a lamb, but the body of the creature being devoured by the lion. Only some offal left he cared not for, two shanks of the legs that had no flesh upon them, and the gristle of the ear, as the Targum, having satisfied his hunger with the best of it, signifying hereby, that only a few of the Israelites should escape the enemy, and those poor and insignificant. He made no account of, and this in a miraculous manner, it being like taking anything out of the mouth of a lion, to which a powerful enemy is compared, and particularly the king of Assyria. Jeremiah 0:17, only a few of them, and those the poorest, and their escape will be next to a miracle, when the city will be taken, even such as are weak and sickly, or faint-hearted, being in a corner of a bed, who either through sickness lie there, or slothfulness, danger being near, or through poverty, having only a corner or a piece of a bed to lie on, or through cowardice, they hid themselves in one part of it. End. Verse 15, regarding the summer and winter houses, Albert Barnes states, upon idolatry, there follow luxury and pride. So wealthy were they, says Jerome, as to possess two sorts of houses, the winter house being turned to the south, the summer house to the north, so that, according to the variety of the seasons, they might temper to them the heat and cold. End.